The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to K4 Wins, along with the, of course, Coastal Digital Sports Network and Tony Curry Radio. It's three of us here. Kip is actually off today. He's going to Kalen DeBoer luncheon this morning with the legend. So whenever they get an opportunity to go, whenever they get the chance to rub elbows with Kalen DeBoer. Now all of a sudden, Kalen's the man because obviously he gets that big victory at Georgia this past week, and everyone's loving Kalen DeBoer again. Of course, they have a very interesting twist going on this weekend against Diego Pavia and those Commodores, who have won 5-0. They're 5-0 for the second time in 80 years going into week 6. So we'll talk about that coming up in a few minutes. It's Case Keeley, second direct sheep editor of the Las Vegas Sun. Below me, to my right or my left, depending on how you're looking at it, Kai Gregory. He's a handicapper extraordinaire. He's been doing this for nearly 4 decades. He's fantastic. He runs K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. Before we move on, how are our numbers so far this week? I know we had a lot of Major League Baseball. My Cincinnati Reds, the only team that didn't go 3 games in their series. I know you had LA minus 1.5. It hurt me. But at least someone won some money off my Cincinnati Reds. Happy they just made the postseason. And next year, look out. Terry Francona's crew perhaps will have an opportunity. I wanted to get right into that. But first, our numbers. What are our numbers?
10-3 this week. We gave some series winners out. You know, obviously the Dodgers minus 1.5, Detroit and the Yankees 3-1 because we had the Padres over that, which was not the greatest play in the world, but trying to get a plus. Already laid it out there. Without talking to Case, laid it out there for Milwaukee in the series, especially at the price, seeing a minus 25 and 30. I was like, good Lord, are you kidding me? I know Case doesn't like it. I knew he wasn't going to, but I do not like the Cubs. I do not like their rotation. I mean, they got some good hitters. I just think Milwaukee's pitching gets it done in that situation, and I love them in game one. 93-51 last month, college football, 50-18. This year and year to date, 826-444.
Case, let's go. Milwaukee, you like it or not?
No, I bet Chicago. I think I bet some, I don't remember what price, but maybe like plus 110. I've been skeptical of Milwaukee all year. And I think that I agree that if you poke holes in the Cubs, it's their rotation. But I think it's, I mean, despite a 162 game sample, I still think we can get some flukes. I think it's kind of a fluke that Milwaukee finished so much better than them in the standings. And I really think when Milwaukee was at their best, their rotation was really coming together. I mean, now Woodruff's hurt. I mean, Peralta's had a great year, but his numbers are – his peripheral numbers, he's kind of overperforming. I mean, obviously, I like that they have home field advantage. I think it's going to be really close. I just thought it should be like a pick 'em. And at least when I was digging through the numbers right when they opened, getting the Cubs at a decent plus price was a bet for me.
Cubs take the winner-take-all game right there. The first time since 2017 they've done that. And, of course, everyone loves the Chicago Cubs. Why not? You get on the north side of Chicago, and everyone loves when the Chicago Cubs are in the playoffs. So at least I do. I mean, I think it's kind of cool. Of course, I also like the Reds being in there, too, just because the Big Red Machine, the first Major League Baseball team ever to take a field, by the way, back in 1869. All right, let's get into some college football. We just mentioned that Kip is going to the Kalen DeBoer lunch. He is beloved around here again. A lot of people are like, we do love him. That was a huge victory. And of course, anytime you can knock off a team that's won 33 straight at home like Georgia did, it's a big win for Alabama and obviously for other reasons because of all the storylines, a huge victory for Alabama. Here they come back into Tuscaloosa, into Bryant Denny, giving up 10.5. That number stuck throughout the entire week, man. It's been even money on both sides. I know a lot of your computer programs show the Vanderbilt should probably be like an 8.5, 9-point thing. A lot of public money going on Alabama. Tell me where that line's going, Case.
Yeah, I just think we've kind of reached the point where there's interest in both sides. You know, obviously it opened a little bit higher, which luckily was when I bet Vanderbilt got banged down right away and has kind of stayed there. And yeah, I think you nailed it. I think the vast majority of the bets are going to be on Alabama. But there's going to be enough. There's going to be enough big bets, enough a little bit sharper action to keep it where it is. I think certainly still, despite all that, this is a big enough game. Alabama, obviously a big enough program that the books will be rooting for Vanderbilt. But yeah, it seems like we've kind of reached the right location. I don't think we'll see any huge movement before kickoff. I would say if I think it's going to move any way, I would think maybe even a little bit less. So maybe if you haven't bet Alabama yet, I would probably just wait. I don't think this is going to 2 touchdowns. See if maybe if someone is waiting for those limits to get bumped up one more time and trying to get even more money down on Vanderbilt and maybe try to buy Alabama at even lower. But you're right, it's been pretty stagnant through the week.
Kai, your platform obviously has a lot of Alabama fans because you take local action here. They absolutely love Alabama. They play Alabama regardless of what the line's going to be. And I'm assuming they're all loving on Kalen again because they got that victory. Not only that, but they covered this past week against Georgia, and they're giving up 10.5. Everyone buying it down 9.5 and letting it rip?
Very, very strange for me looking today. Not a single play on Alabama. The only plays are on Vanderbilt. I hadn't seen it in a long time like that. But at the same time, everybody was on Georgia last week, which I couldn't stand. I even said I liked Alabama before. But, you know, it's very weird. I mean, and people think I'm crazy. I still love Alabama in this point, in this spot. I still love it at 10. If I can get it at 9.5, I'll like it better. I think Alabama is probably going to go over their team total of 34. But I wouldn't be surprised if Vandy hit their team total 22.5 and got there also. But it could very easily be a 35-24 game. I just think Alabama matches up better this year in a huge revenge spot. And who would have thought going into week six that SEC would have three top seven teams that wouldn't be Alabama, Georgia, and LSU? It'd be Ole Miss, Oklahoma, and Texas A&M.
Yeah, I mean, it's been crazy. I mean, they're deep this year, and it's pretty amazing. You know, you mentioned that over-under, too, and I saw a pick earlier in the week, the under, I think it was 56.5 at that point. Something just interesting to remember that Vanderbilt, they've been putting up some plays, but big, major plays. They've had some long plays throughout the season, but there's only five teams in college football that actually run a slower clock than Vanderbilt. They will use the entire play clock every single time they run the football. And in this particular case, they're on the road. They're catching 10.5. They beat them last year. They want to keep the game close. I can certainly see an under happening. I know that you like the over in this particular case, but I'm seeing a lot of unders in that particular case. And Alabama's defense, obviously, is going to want to shore up that based on what happened last year with this particular ballgame. So I can see a 24-10, 24-13 game as well. So we'll see what happens in that game. Another game moving big time, Texas-Florida opened up at 6.5. We were talking about all the public money going on Texas only because – Texas preseason number one. They had the Heisman Trophy hopeful, Arch Manning in there. Obviously, things change in 6 weeks. Now they're playing a team down the swamp who's 1-3, and that line's fell to 4.5. Case, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm kind of kicking myself. I didn't see this coming because earlier in the week I bet Texas -6.5. I just thought it should be on the other side of 7, but it's been this way every single week. I mean, dating back to you can't get much money down on the FCS game, so maybe not Long Island, but every other game Florida has played this year, they've just taken an avalanche of action. And, you know, to a degree, I get it. I mean, I was super high on this roster coming into the season, too. I think just personnel-wise, they match up with just about anyone. And it does scare me because I think at some point they get it together. I mean, we saw it happen at the end of last season. I do think they win one of these games where they're going to be an underdog. I just personally didn't see it being this one just with how good Texas's defense is. We've talked about how bad the offense is and how bad it looks, but I don't know, the defense still looks pretty good to me. They got a bunch of NFL guys. So I just looked at it as, you know, I know Florida got a little bit of a rest, so maybe they're going to come out a little bit better. But I just thought matchup-wise, this is a tough spot to get right. So I still lean Florida here, but it scares me week after week. I mean, Florida's just taking so much action. I do think they come through one of these weeks and win, hopefully, since I got in on the Texas side a little premature, apparently, based on the market. Hopefully it's not this week. But, yeah, the Gators continue to get respect, although they haven't really done anything to merit it so far.
And I know Kip would sit there and say, and I certainly understand, they haven't played anybody. Well, we have to pick ball games. We're handicappers. We're 6 weeks into the season. It doesn't matter. By this time, your eyeballs have been on a team for 6 weeks. You got to figure out what they're all about, regardless of who they're playing and how they play them. And, yeah, Texas, you know, plays Ohio State. They play them close. They're on the road. That certainly adds some credence. Now you can sit there and say, well, Ohio State hasn't played anybody. Listen, we go into the season based on all the information we have from the previous season and who they got coming back and all their core skill players, and we make predictions. That's what we do. And so for Texas to only be giving up 4.5 in this particular game, Kai, I would think that would just be the public money would be all over the Longhorns, regardless whether you like them or not, just looking at, because Florida hasn't shown anything yet. What is, I mean, yeah, their schedule's been a little bit more difficult, but they're not getting it done. They've won one game all year.
Well, to Case's point, I will tell you, yeah, I can tell you exactly when Florida will be the underdog that covers. And that'll be against Tennessee, because Tennessee doesn't win at Florida. It hadn't happened, you know, since I've been alive almost. You know, this is a game that I jumped on the under when it was 42.5. I do like both defenses in this situation. I don't love playing unders. You know, a good thing, you know, to give advice to bettors out there, you know, if you play the under, you have to get beat. You know, that's what you got to think of when you go into a game. You play the under, you have to get beat. You don't have to win the game. You have to be beat, which is different when you're playing, you know, against the spread, when you're playing overs, you know, anything like that, just to think about.
Hold on. What do you mean? What do you mean you have to get beat?
You start out under. I mean, you don't have to get to an over. You start out under. So you have to be beat. There has to be 43 points scored in this game for you to lose. You know, it's not something where you're catching, you know, 4, 5, 6 points or you're.
But I can make the point that if I have the over, I'm always in the game, too.
You can, unless, I mean, yeah, absolutely. And I can remember back in the day, I think it was, I can't remember who it was, in like 9 overtimes. It might have been Arkansas and Ole Miss or LSU and Ole Miss or whatever. And I think I had the over in the game, and it ended in regulation 14-14. And, I was in that game. But you're not in that game anymore if you're over-unders in the 50s, because even if they both score and get the two-point conversion, then once you get to the third overtime, it's only 2 points. So I understand and I agree that you're kind of always in the game, but you also have to be beat. I just think Florida's defense is good enough to slow down Texas the way Manning has been playing, and Texas is going to come in and want to run the ball. I think they'll have a much better offensive game plan than Florida will. I don't give anything of credence to honor Kip to Sunbelt Billy. But I think the defense for both teams will be there. And I think it's a 21-17 game, you know, best case.
I think my old protege, Herb Winches, used to always play the overs. You remember old Herbie? Everyone on the space knows Herb Winches. And he's like, man, always play the over because you're always in the game. But you're right. Now you get that third overtime, you're going to have to get it 4 points at a time. And it just doesn't add up quick enough when it used to be 12 for sure. Another game, and we're kind of flying around here. So feel free to jump in. We'll actually give our plays here before then. We'll jump into the Major League Baseball schedule as well as the NFL as well. On our show on the starting lineup yesterday, 3 of the 4 guys were loving themselves from Clemson, minus 14 against North Carolina, finally saying this is the team that Dabo gets it right. I'm hearing from the inside out. I obviously have a son there. He doesn't work for the organization, but I do know some people that know Dabo really well, that a lot of guys on the team are kind of throwing the towel in, and that they're going to be going into this game like they have the first 4 games, and that is just kind of like lackadaisical, yeah, we should win this game. Let's go in there. Let's not get injured. Is this the game case that Clemson gets it right, at least giving up, say, 13.5, you want to buy it?
I kind of think so, but I thought so last, or not, I don't know, they might have been off last week. I thought so their last game, too, and they went out and lost outright. Yeah. I did bet, not a pretty small bet, but I bet Clemson minus 13 at open. If this continues, it's hard for me to wrap my head around. As down as I was on Clemson coming into the year, I mean, I still would have had their roster quality, and I thought the big hold up with me was I just thought their roster wasn't as good as some of these other schools that, you know, have worked the portal for years and just have a higher talent index at this point. Like, the talent on this roster isn't what they were when they were winning national championships. And all that being said, I still would have had them like top 15, 10 to 15 range. So it's hard for me to believe it's fallen off this much, this badly. North Carolina is just kind of a mess. I really liked them, I think, 2 weeks ago playing against UCF, who I think very little of. I think it's kind of a year zero for Scott Frost there. They totally turned over the roster, don't really have a very impressive personnel, and UNC just got destroyed by UCF. It wasn't even competitive. So I don't know. If there's one team that I trust to turn it around more, it's Clemson. I know now it's trending towards like 14.5. I probably wouldn't go that far, but if you want to lay 14, I'd say go for it. But if Clemson has another no-show this week, I might have to ban myself from them, because I've tried to catch the I've tried to catch them on the come up now a few weeks in a row. And it seems like your reports, it checks out with the eye test. Just seems like something is wrong over there.
Someone threw this out at me earlier. The line before the season started in this game was 12. And you would think, wow, it should be a lot higher. No, it's because North Carolina is a lot worse than we thought they were going to be. And Clemson's a lot worse than they're going to be. So it's actually higher than it was during the opening season. Kyle, you got a take on this?
I mean, I just can't bet on a coach who seems to be better at dating college kids than coaching them. I just can't do it.
I knew you'd have something there for sure. Kentucky, Georgia. As we fly around the SEC, the Georgia Bulldogs, obviously, they look really good in the second half. Gave up the USAG to Alabama. That defense, did they get it right? And all of a sudden, the Kentucky Wildcats coming in between the hedges, catching 20.5. It's been sticking around 20.5, 48.5, the over-under for the entire game. Kai, the Georgia Bulldogs, did they get right this weekend?
I would absolutely love Georgia if it wasn't an 11 o'clock game. Historically, I go back to the same thing I say with Clemson. With Georgia, And it's generally their non-conference games. But at 11 o'clock, they start super slow and suck. I would play, and I think I have not looked at the first half total. That game, I think the total in the game is 48.5. I would probably lean, if you've got a 26-point first half total, I'd lean to the under there. I don't know that Kentucky will score during the game at all. But I just like that game to start slow. Both teams are going to run the ball. And I would go that way. Georgia's going to win the game. I don't think it's going to be, you know, close. I just don't know if I can give up 20. If it was a 2:30 game, a 6 o'clock game, any of that, I would be all over it. But 11 o'clock, I'm just going to play the first half under and go from there.
And Case, of course, all's not lost for the Georgia Bulldogs, the defending SEC champions. They're sitting there 3-1. They've got a Kentucky game between the hedges. They can get ripe as well, right?
Yeah, they could. I've got nothing on this game. I don't even remember if you go to LasVegasSun.com, I handicap every game. I don't even know which side I ended up picking. It would have been a guess either way. I've been super down on Georgia. I think I picked them in the SEC championship, which went well. And then I was thinking the other day, I've bet against them every single game since, other than like Austin Peay. And I guess I can go low blow and needle him. He's not here. Kip almost always disagrees with me. He'll say he's not biased when he's picked, but he always picks Georgia, the Alabama game. We really disagreed on Notre Dame last year. So I don't know. I've had a little better read on the Bulldogs than their biggest fan on our show. But here, I don't know what he thinks of this game. I'd be interested. He didn't send anything over. You know, maybe it's a time to buy Georgia because it's the first time, and like I said, probably what, 5 or 6 games now where I don't really show value against them. I have this right around where the number is. Looks like depending – once I put a lot of things together, I had it 19.5, maybe a little bit higher than that if you go with my first read. So – man, I don't know. Georgia usually owns Kentucky, but I'm just not as high. I'm just not as high on this year's Bulldogs in the past. I'm not a big Gunnar Stockton guy. Kentucky plays just a good enough defense that I feel like they could hold them in front. Yeah, I'm just saying a lot to say. I have nothing on this game. I don't really know what direction to go.
Well, love the show. Good
Carolina did to them. I mean, look what South Carolina did to Kentucky. Who's a better team, Georgia or South Carolina?
There's no doubt. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I can't,
somebody here picked South Carolina for the playoffs.
Yeah, and I can't figure out South. Well, I took Kentucky plus the 6 this past week, and all of a sudden South Carolina shows up. I can't figure them out. I'm done. You're right with Beamer ball, man. I'm 0-2 on Clemson and South Carolina. I'm just staying off the whole fucking state is what I am. I'm just staying away from that entire state of college football because they don't know what the hell they're doing over there. I am blessed enough to do a show with both of you guys, the starting lineup, of course, along with Kip Kiefer every Saturday morning, 10:30, 11 o'clock. So I get your plays a little earlier in the week. So I kind of know where you guys are going, but people here on K4 Wednesday don't. And so I want to go around the horn because we always run out of time. We're going to start with Kai. Throw out some of your 2, 3, 4 best plays you've got. We realize, and a lot of people have brought this to our attention, because by the time you see this show air on a Friday, the lines change between now and Saturday. I understand that. You're like, well, you like them +3, and now all of a sudden it's a pick'em game. It happens. That's the way it goes. If you can get on the lines when we throw them out there, get on them early. And, of course, you got someone like Case who jumps on games the minute they come out, and that's why he gets games like +12 when they close at 9.5. That's why he's the best at the best, the best. So keep that in mind. We'll do the best we can to find games where the lines are certainly comparable to the way we pick on the show here. Kai, give me around 3 or 4 games you really like that you're going to the games. I already know a couple of your games you're picking there for the starting lineup. What do you got, man?
I'm beginning to look at some team totals, and this is just going to go against, you know, what I said earlier, but Clemson's team total in that North Carolina game is 30.5, and I think North Carolina's given up that, you know, in halves to some people. I'm way different than a lot of people. I think I'm loving New Mexico tonight. +3 at San Jose State. I really like what they've been doing. I know we talked about Delaware and Western Kentucky on Tuesday. I completely flipped on that because with McElvoir for Western Kentucky, the way he's been slinging the ball around, I really liked Delaware early on. We've given some of those plays, and it's kind of out there. I do think Kansas State over their team total, 27.5 at Baylor, is one of my favorite plays of the day. Jackson Arnold ran all over Baylor. Avery Johnson, I think, is a better running quarterback than him. I think they're going to line up to run the ball. I'm really, really, really liking that play moving forward. You know, just looking at some of these, Washington being 6.5 at Maryland is kind of strange, but I like Maryland's team total under 28 at home against Washington. They held
up. What a weird line, too, just after the Ohio State game. I totally agree with you. It's fun to look at those games and how they change from online to continue. That's really good.
Smelly fish. there's some smelly fish out there with a lot of movements. Eastern Michigan and Buffalo line moved 3 points to the over already. You know, some of the smaller games. But I got a question for y'all. I want to see if either one of y'all can get this. We need to do something where for somebody watching, maybe they can email or something to get the, you know, month of our plays or something. What team is predicted to go 0-12 in college football and will be at least a 16-point underdog in the remainder of their games?
UCLA?
Yeah.
Great job, Nico. Good decision, buddy.
Wow. Yeah, and that is one game that I absolutely love this weekend. Look at Penn State and what James Franklin's done. He is 40-25 against the spread in games he's favored by 10 or more games, or 10 or more points, should I say, since he's been at Penn State. He is 9-2-1 in games after he's had a loss straight up against the spread, and they only get up 24.5 points, and he will make it fat, man. He is, if you look at somebody's last thing, he has no problem running up the line on a game like this. He has gone to the whip, and I think UCLA, they're finished. They're done. They're not going to win a football game this year. And I love Penn State minus 24.5. You got some thoughts on that case?
That's another game I have nothing on. I mean, I just I don't disagree with you. There's no way you can back UCLA right now. What a mess. Although I did back them last week at Northwestern and somehow got away with it, even though I think Northwestern went up maybe 17-0 or something, but UCLA slid in the back door. I don't think Northwestern's high powered enough to be laying that many points to any team that has comparable talent level to them. At the same time, I don't know, Penn State, just it doesn't look like a vintage Penn State right now. They obviously not scoring at as high of a clip. They're playing really slow. It seems like Drew Aller's got some mental blockage. So I don't remember who I picked in this game even, but I definitely don't dislike it. I'm just probably going to stay far away. I actually, I'm glad you gave the disclaimer. It's always hard for me to pick out like my one or two favorite plays by now. Cause yeah, like you said, I mean, I'm 90-95% of my college football action is going to be on Monday, or even this year it's gone even a little bit earlier because places are starting to post Saturday night and Sunday. Of course, they barely let you bet anything then. So a lot of my favorite things have moved. I mean, hopefully, if you listen to the Tuesday show, I think it's probably a little more helpful. I think I mentioned I love Texas A&M then laying 14. I think they were even laying 14 at some places yesterday at this time. Now it's all the way up to 15.5. That's just tough when you cross over key numbers like that. I will say a couple that haven't moved, we're kind of approaching it a different way, but I agreed with both the games Kai gave out. I bet Kansas State plus 6.5. It's still at 6, which is fine. Man, I feel so bad for Sawyer Robertson because the kid is like unbelievable. I think he's literally been one of the 5 best quarterbacks in the country. He puts up like 450 yards a game, but they just have nothing around him. They've spent so much money to keep him. They couldn't really supplement the rest of their roster. So I'm glad he's paid. Yeah. I think he could have done better going somewhere else. And I mean, I'm sure he's going to get drafted. He'll have a nice career, but I feel like he's playing at such a high level that maybe they steal the game, but I wish there was more around him. And Kansas State just seemed like they kind of got it back on track after their bye week. Dylan Edwards, their big running back they got in the transfer portal, who got hurt muffing the punt in the very first game in Ireland. He was finally back. I think he ran for like 120 yards and is a threat in the pass game too. So kind of seems like Kansas State got right. They've burned me a lot this year, though, so I'm a little bit worried, but I agree with Kyle. I like Kansas State in that one. And I also bet Washington earlier in the week. I think I laid 5. It's now 6.5, which if it's below 7, it's probably fine. I think they probably played a little bit better against Ohio State than they're getting credit. They just didn't finish a couple of drives. They were aggressive, went for it in some situations. I know I can't remember the exact thing, but they had some trick play they tried to run that went disastrously. I don't mind taking swings like that when you're like total, especially when you're totally undermanned. I mean, you know you're gonna have to have some things go right to beat Ohio State. And really, at the end of the game, the underlying numbers were not as bad as the score. So I'm still pretty high on Washington. I know Maryland's quarterback Malik Washington's been really impressive too, but I like Washington more long term. So I know Kai went over team total on both, but I played the point spread on both those games.
I love the handicapping fodder of revenge games, hangover games, games after bye weeks. It makes for great conversation. He was on this staff, now he's on the other staff, and that's going to give him advantage, blah, blah, blah. It just doesn't normally play out that way. Certainly one of those games come up this weekend where you got Virginia, who just had a huge victory this past weekend. Now they go into Louisville, Miller-Moss. who's thrown over 300 yards three times himself for the Louisville Cardinals. They're undefeated, folks. One of 13 teams that are undefeated. They go into Papa John Stadium. And now the line, I had it at 7.5, and I loved it at 7.5. It's gone all the way down to 6.5. Something tells me Virginia comes up a little flat this weekend. Kai, what you think?
I mean, I would have to agree with you in that one. I've looked at it. It's not something that's just, you know, I'm not going to say it hasn't jumped out at me. It has. If I play this, I've got to go that way. I cannot back Virginia after that game. However, I would probably look at the team totals and like some overs in that one as well.
Yeah, that's one of my big plays this weekend. I love the Louisville Cardinals, and I love a -6.5. I'm going to jump on it right after the show here. Also, another game that's really interesting. We talk about this on Tuesday. A lot of people aren't talking about this in this part of the country, but they should be. A pair of 4-0 teams, Texas Tech in Houston. That was an 11.5 point ball game, not 1.5, but 1.5. Texas Tech -11.5. Has that line moved much? And to have two teams undefeated, I don't care who you played. It's good football at week six.
Yeah, no, not it has not moved a ton. Even actually, I see a couple places here today. It's 13. It's back to 12.5 at Circa, which is probably taking the biggest bets right now. You mentioned two games. I know Kip likes. I know Kip is on Louisville with you, and he's also on Houston with me. I bet Houston 12.5, which is still readily available. I mean, this is a game. I could absolutely get curb stomped here because Texas Tech has looked incredible. But I don't know. Sometimes you know it. It's not every week they're going to look like a national championship contender. I feel like there's going to be ebbs and flows in the season. And I have a lot of respect for the Houston program. I think Willie Fritz has it headed in the right direction. I think Wegman looks really, really good this year. He looks like he's in better shape. He's in an offense that's built around him. And I just look at them being at home. I think I mentioned it on Tuesday, but this is like the program's biggest home game maybe ever. Now they're in a power conference taking on a team that's a huge favorite to win the Big 12. Definitely feel like there's some long tails, as we say, I guess in the statistical, community, like this could go very wrong and Texas Tech could stomp them, but I just see more outcomes where it's a closer game. I think Texas Tech has a lot of injuries too. I haven't looked since I bet it earlier in the week, if Baron Morton, their quarterback's going to play, but he didn't play the second half against Utah a couple weeks ago. I know the backups played really well, that they have, you know, they have depth everywhere, which is a luxury this time in college football, but you do look at the injuries. They have a lot of guys out. Houston probably a little bit healthier. So, yeah, Kip and I are aligned on this one. We both like Houston getting the big number of points, so we'll cross our fingers and hope for the best.
K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com, 50-18 in college football so far this year. We've been absolutely on fire, and I love this ABC 3340 thing. Of course, we're actually doing a local show. We're actually getting better numbers of College Game Day. It's because Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry are live, and, of course, we're local. Kai Gregory, in that case, is also on the show with his heaters from the desert every single week, and we are just picking out of our brains. We have, of course, the Kentucky-Georgia game on early, then Alabama-Vanderbilt, then that nighttime game. I love it. And Saturday night, grilling out. Kids are down for the day. They've been out by the pool doing whatever all day. All of a sudden, you got Miami and FSU, man. I love this matchup. It's always been good. We mentioned, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s with Larry Coker and the Bobby Bowden days. Whoever won this football game had the inside track to win a national title. If you lost, you were out. And all of a sudden, we've got a little bit more wiggle room when it comes to losses. This game, 4.5, I'm seeing this morning, Kai. Is that what you see right now for the Miami Hurricanes? And, of course, that's a team. We'll get to Case last year. That's a team that Case has been all over all year long.
Yeah, I got to go backwards for a second. I think the best play in that Houston-Texas Tech game, to me, is Houston over their team total of 19. People don't understand that their offense has been clicking. I know Texas Tech, you know, shut down Utah, okay? Totally different offensive scheme for Houston. I think they get at least 20, 21 points, you know, in minimum. Sure. Anyway, Miami matches up, and in my opinion, has better players at every position than Florida, every single position. There's no way if I play this game, I'm not taking Miami. I get it's at Florida State. Florida State's had their, you know, their big game against Alabama. Florida State's coming off a loss against Virginia. Oh, this line's dropping. Oh, it's perfect spot. It's perfect spot. It's perfect spot. Miami by 10.
Case, you've been on them all year long.
I hope he's right. I'm not on anything in this game. I'm really leveraged Miami futures everywhere. I totally agree that Miami's personnel is just blows away Florida State's, in my opinion. But I would have said that week one, too, and we saw what Florida State did to Alabama back then. I also feel like it is kind of a throwback in that you said it used to be one team is eliminated. I know it's probably not quite that, but I feel like Florida State really, really needs to win this game or they're all but eliminated. I know it would still only be two losses, but you just look at the rest of their schedule with how down Clemson is and some of the other games you thought would be decent wins. I just called it up, like Virginia Tech is terrible. Stanford's terrible. Like this is kind of their last chance to really firm up their resume. I think they're going to need some chaos to get into the playoff if they have two losses, even with the Alabama win. So the spot to me does kind of favor Florida State. I mentioned on Tuesday I'm worried about Carson. I want to see how Carson Beck throws. Maybe, you know, it's not something I do a lot, but some people are really good at live betting and they swear by it. There's certain games though where I see the merit in it. Maybe this is a game where you kind of see how it goes early and decide if you want to live bet it, because Florida State kind of has that weird rushing attack under Gus Malzahn, obviously. I feel like Miami should be able to handle it because they're so good on the defensive front, but maybe you see a possession or two, see how they're doing with that, and see how Carson Beck's throwing the ball. If he's only throwing it 5 yards from the line of scrimmage again, maybe there's alarm bells. But if they and I'm sure they've heard that everyone freaking out about it. It's been a lot of the Miami fans wondering if his elbow's okay. If they come out and they're chucking it downfield to prove a point, then maybe you feel a little bit safer diving in with Miami. But the number's right about what I made it. I'm just going to lean back on all the hurricane stuff I have long term and hope Kai is right and they can cruise in this game.
If you are looking for inside information, you're trying to find someone that's got something from the locker room or whatever, I do have a little nugget here for what it's worth, and it's hard to do that because they're 2-2, and obviously this is going to be the game of the year for Trent Dilfer and the UAB Blazers. It is. If he wins this game, he's 3-2, and he's got a chance to go over his 4.5 and possibly make a bowl game. This is the only way he's going to make a bowl game, is to win these type of games. That line up at 7.5 is now down to 6.5, and what I'm hearing is because the Gov showed down, and of course they are no longer in business. Way to go, senators and House members. We appreciate all the hard work you're doing for us here as citizens of the United States of America. That Army is just demoralized. Now, I'm also hearing that UAB is not in the best of spots either. I hear Trent Dilfer is up to about here with, of course, his not only his coaching staff, but people inside the organization of UAB. They're catching 6.5. I did play the under 57.5 when this game opened up. It's down to 56.5 right now. So if you're looking for something to play, you're going to be in town, you're going to Protective 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, and you want to see some light. And by the way, they're giving away football tickets for that game. Go down there and check it out. It should be a beautiful day to be checking out some college football, UAB. Plus the 6.5, maybe up to the 7 against Army going on. Kai, you also picked on our show Iowa State, the Cyclones, 5-0, one of 13 teams still undefeated going into Bearcat land in Cincinnati. And that's another one of those, wait a minute, they're undefeated and they're catching 1.5 at the Bearcats. Is that correct?
Cincinnati's been playing well. And I mean, this is a tough game for Iowa State. And I mean, I could see it either way. I would be interested to see what Case's number is on that game. But early game going into Cincinnati, I mean, it's not like I think Iowa State's going to go in there and win by 14. They have been the one score, one possession, you know, kings lately. I just trust Rocco Beck in this situation. The Iowa defense, I mean, I think I saw the Iowa State defense. I think I saw a stat the other day where they haven't scored, I think, like over 21, 22, 23 points, but they also don't give up more than 16. So it's probably going to be a low scoring game. If it gets up to the total, which is 55, then that's not a good thing for Iowa State. They don't need an up and down game. They need to play, you know, ball control, their type of game, leave the game in Rocco Beck's hands and go that way. And I will tell you, Tony, if you're going to bet that UAB game, I would have to go with you. Take the points. What I don't understand, and this is strictly to Birmingham, so everybody else listening, just give me 20 seconds on this. Why is the mayor asking the city council for $200,000 to buy tickets to UAB games when they're giving damn tickets away?
Yeah. I mean, well, you can still go to the website and buy tickets. They would like to go to UABSports.com and buy the tickets. But yeah, city council buying a bunch of tickets. This is one of those. By the way, this is something that they arranged prior to the season, where they go in at least one game. It is Armed Forces Day down there at UAB, so they're going to be recognizing. And here's the part that just absolutely sucks. No flyover tomorrow. They're supposed to have a huge air flyer. I'm friends with some of the guys down at the 127 Air Fuelers, and they were really looking forward to having a massive flyover tomorrow. It was going to be broadcast on TVs. It's on ESPNU. It's going to be a national televised game. And as of right now, no flyover because these dumbasses can't figure out the budget for the United States of America, which just sucks. And you talk about the little things that affect, and again, I know we do a game here and you guys probably don't give a shit. But none of the Army kids get to go. The band doesn't get to go. The cheerleaders don't get to go. The fan section doesn't get to go. It's just the team. Even the secondary guys, the string guys, the guys who are on practice squads, they don't get to travel with Army. It's demoralizing. It sucks. It's period. That's as political as I get. It really blows because this is college football and everyone should have an opportunity to be playing in this. And again, you come into UAB, a fine little city down here in Birmingham, play some football, and perhaps if your Army get a victory, they're not having a very good season either. But that should be interesting. Another Armed Forces team that is doing really, really well is Navy. They've got an interesting ball game this weekend. They're 4-0 as well, Kay, since we're on the Armed Forces. What's your thoughts on the Naval Academy this weekend?
Yeah, we've seen them take some action too. Unfortunately, both these games are games where I do have the better of the number. I think you might have dropped on Tuesday, Tony, but you were talking about UAB, and I did bet UAB plus 7.5 in that game. I think going to 6.5 is a little bit to me and pump the brakes, but if it goes to 7, I've just been betting against Army all year. I think they're kind of in a rebuild. I think people are slow to catch on when these service academies are in a rebuild as they're usually so consistent. Air Force is a team I've been dead wrong about. I was really high on them coming into the year. I thought they could challenge for the Mountain West, and it's just – defensively, they're one of the worst teams in the nation. I mean, they just cannot stop anyone. So I jumped on a smaller bet, but I jumped on Navy minus 10.5 because I never really trust my numbers with service academies either, just because obviously they run different offenses and they play so slow that I feel like they kind of throw the normal normal success rate and analytics out of whack. But I made it Navy minus 16 again. So it seems like a gigantic delta that I should have made a huge bet on it. But again, I don't trust my numbers on these games because they play a little bit weird. Obviously there's the trend. Everyone cites that these games against each other, they've gone under on like a 90% clip for the last 20 years. So if it's going to go under, it's going to be tough to cover the 16, but just on paper, this looks like one of the bigger mismatches between these two schools in a while. I mean, Air Force just can't stop anyone. Navy is a super dynamic player for the second straight year in Blake Horvath. So at 12.5, which I see right now, it'd still be a lean to Navy. I would just tread lightly because the service academy games kind of play strange. And if UAB gets back to 7, I might like that better than anything in this game. And I know since Kai asked, I haven't bet the Cincinnati game. I slightly leaned the other way. I made it Cincinnati minus 1, which is right where the numbers is. I am a little bit worried. I do know Iowa State's offense has come through and made the plays when they need to, made the drives. But I really think they've been more defensively led this year. You look, their defense has been so good, and they have a lot of guys hurt there. I think they have like 3 of their starting 4 defensive backs aren't going to play. Sorsby hasn't been great for Cincinnati, but he can get it done too. So nothing there for me. I get it that Iowa State just seems super trustworthy when you have to have it. This might be another game where they have to have it. I do think it'll be close coming down to the wire.
You got a boy in the Armed Forces, Kai. We thank him for all of his service. You have any thoughts on any of the Armed Forces games this weekend?
Yeah, I jumped on Navy early, got him at 10, and I actually bought it to 9.5 because I could when it came out because I just like getting off that key number. I don't necessarily buy to tie, but I'll buy for a win in a heartbeat. And sometimes, you know, people say never buy for a tie. Well, if you buy and you get the tie, then you didn't lose. So it's a pretty good buy, in my opinion. Anyway, moving on. I think it helps Navy with all the things that you were just saying about the Army people not being able to travel. Well, it's at Navy, so all those guys are there. The Air Force is not going to be able to travel as well either. It was something when the shutdown came that I backed off a little bit and said, should I buy out of this? Does that change anything? I don't think it really changes anything with the, you know, at least the first string, all those different things. But the Air Force is not going to have their fans there, like you're talking about, their cheerleaders, the band, whatnot. And it is a little bit of a drive from, Denver to the Naval Academy. Obviously a flight. But, yeah, I would have to trust Blake Horvath in this situation and the fact that, just like Case was talking about, Air Force's defense seems to suck.
Yeah, and Blake Horvath, I've been watching him the last couple of years. Last year he was fantastic. He's fun to watch, man. He is fun.
Last year somebody on this podcast was all over Navy and even took them plus 14 at Notre Dame and was talking about how great Navy was. And then the other 3 people on the podcast was like, you're an idiot. Navy has no chance. And I was an idiot.
There's a lot of people.
Pretty
good year. Yeah. Don't be boohooing on yourself. Don't do a poor me another. We ain't on to you. You know what? Since you brought up Notre Dame too, a team that you actually had during the playoffs, Boise State, They're actually catching 22 against a 2-2 Notre Dame team. Again, this is one of those anomalies where it doesn't surprise us that they started the season 0-2 just based on their schedule, but still, and they're favored to win the rest of their games. I'll throw it out right now. Notre Dame, first of all, if they win out, are they a playoff team? And second of all, do they win out? Case?
Good thing Kip's not here. I don't know how you guys will respond, but Kip would be shaking his head and mad at me. If you're a playoff team right now, you better hope Notre Dame doesn't not lose a game and get into the playoffs. I think they're the team no one should want to play. I mean, they almost won their – though. It took a meltdown against Texas A&M, and they almost beat Miami in Miami with breaking in a new quarterback and all these new players kind of banged up. I just to me, it seems like they're so good at every position. I think they're really a terrifying force. I feel like if they went out, they probably get in. I think you look at the betting market, and it's still like almost a pick 'em for them to do it. I feel like all these other teams are so close that I know I kind of said the opposite with Florida State. I said Florida State would need some chaos, but I kind of feel like some chaos is going to happen, and then we still know they're the brand name. We still know money talks. I feel like people are going to want to watch them. So I feel like if they went out, they will be in, and I know it's hard to say right now the team's going to win, what, 7 or 8 games, but I'm as high on Notre Dame right now as any team in the nation, and I think they could be a real force if they get in, and I definitely see a path to it happening.
Well, it should tell you something. Obviously, a 2-2 team giving up 22 points to a team.
100% agree.
Yeah. Anybody else got anything else that you want to throw out that was on the show or anything else on obviously we have a lot of plays that we want to put up on K4Wins.com. K4Wins will blow our entire wad here on the show, but we've given you plenty to play, including lots of teams totals as well. But anything else before we jump into the National Football League or MLB, you guys?
I mean, that Western Michigan game that I told you about, that's strictly a bet against UMass, who is one of the top or one of the bottom three teams in the country. In my opinion, and Western Michigan is not horrible offensively. But I think that Notre Dame-Boise game is definitely an elimination game. And if you recall, looking back to last year also, when Notre Dame stomped Arkansas on their way to winning however many in a row they won and get in the playoffs, I think this is the same setup for them. And I think they continue to go. And in Prize Picks, Jeremiah Love's over is 1.5 on touchdowns. I think Love gets 3 touchdowns again this weekend and moves forward in his Heisman campaign.
Oh, there you go. Jump on board. And where's that line right now? What was that? Was it Jeremiah Love? What's his Heisman line right now, Case?
Plus 3,500.
Yeah. Why not? Blow it up and put everything you can on there. All right, let's go to the National Football League. Had an interesting game last night. I thought maybe the Rams. I like that 8. I always look at lines like that because obviously that 8 line, that 8 number is a big number, and a lot of people are going to be taking the other side just because it's at that break number 7. And obviously they didn't get it done. San Francisco looked fantastic last night. They get it done 26-23. And now we get into the weekend of great National Football League plays. Let's start with a man who's actually in the locker room with his Las Vegas Raiders, not because he plays for him, because he writes about them. The Raiders playing the Colts on the road. And, of course, that Colts dream continues. They're 3-1 of the season. The Raiders 1-3. What do you expect from your Las Vegas Raiders this weekend?
Yeah, well, first of all, last night was painful. If you watched the show on Tuesday, just to give an update, I was, I wouldn't say patting myself on the back, but pretty excited. I had Rams -3 from an early line posted, and I mentioned that it had gone so far even at that time. I think it was only like 6.5 or 7. I said if it kept going, I was going to buy some back on the 49ers and shoot for a middle. Just I couldn't get it that high, even with the 49ers having all the injuries. Well, of course I didn't, so I end up just losing the Rams bet. I'm honestly not a big middler or hedger by nature. I know Kip likes to play up or loves when I do it and do it successfully, but when I had a number that just aged that well, and clearly there was a ton of interest in the Rams with the 49ers having no one, I ended up not doing it. And yeah, last night ended up being a big loser for me, unfortunately, which is too bad when you beat the market that big. As far as the Colts Raiders game, the Raiders, you know, I think one of the most concerning parts of their early season start, starting 1-3, is the fact that in all 4 of these games, they've had the healthier side. They hadn't really had a ton of injuries, although I do know, I mean, Brock Bowers has been limited and not himself, which hurts. But that kind of flips this week. They're pretty banged up on the final drive where they got the field goal blocked to lose against the Bears last week. Colton Miller, their great left tackle, really the only guy who's been able to block at all, went down with a high ankle sprain, a hairline fracture. He's not going to play. away. The other big weakness on the team has been the secondary. Their top cornerback, Eric Stokes, hurt his knee with a knee sprain. Sounds like he's going to play, but I mean, we've seen it with Bowers, who I just talked about, that you, if you play through these knee sprains, you're not always yourself. So it really concerns me that they might be even weaker in two of those spots. I still see a couple 6.5s out there. If you could get the 6.5, I would lean laying it with the Colts. I mean, not lean, I bet it myself. 6.5 to 7, such a big move that even at 7, I don't feel great about laying the 7 with the Colts. I still long-term kind of want to sell on the Colts. I feel like people are getting a little too excited about them. They did play really well last week at the Rams, but maybe we're too high on the Rams. If you saw last week, they couldn't, last night, they couldn't beat the B team of the 49ers. And other than that, I mean, they beat the Broncos on a leverage call at the end of the game where they got a second field goal, and they beat up on the Dolphins and the Titans, who were two of the 10 worst teams in the league. So the Colts are, I'm still not totally sold on, but I'm just really worried about the Raiders injury-wise this week, and I don't think Ashton Jeanty is going to have the type of game he did against the Bears. The Bears have the worst rush defense in the league. I think the Colts will really try to make Geno Smith beat them, and he's capable. I mean, historically, he's played well indoors, but I'm just worried about the Raiders injury situation. So never Raiders, maybe Colts.
It's a leverage call, one of the dumbest calls I've ever seen in my life. I hate that call. I hate the leverage call. I hate that, particularly when it decides a football game. God, I can't believe it. But after this weekend, either the Texans or the Ravens are going to be 1-4. I don't know if a team's gone 1-4 and has made the playoffs. And both the Texans and, of course, the Ravens are two teams a lot of people were high on. What do you see in that ball game?
Yeah, I mean, I was high as a kite on Baltimore before the season. One of my largest bets was them over 11.5, and now they got to win, 11 of 12 games to get there? That's really encouraging for my bets. I'm all over Indiana Jones and the Indianapolis Colts. I think they absolutely destroy Vegas this week. I'll be shocked if it's below 14 points. I'm super high on the Colts since week one, since Indiana Jones came in. One game one, they're showing out. He's showing up. Absolutely love him. And Pete Carroll's a joke. So anyway, moving on. There's some other games really like.
Mark that. 46 minutes into the show, we may have to use that. Go ahead.
I mean, there's a reason why we had. I think we're seeing, and I was. Fortunately, I toned it down, but I was big on this in like January and March when these guys are getting hired. There's a reason why coaches don't coach into their 70s, and I think we're kind of seeing it backfire with Carroll and Belichick. I mean, the Raiders have just not looked. The big talk with this Raiders team was they're going to be different this year. They're going to be sharp and buttoned up and not do the dumb stuff. They do not look like a well-coached team, and neither does North Carolina with Bill Belichick for that sample size.
So a game that's sticking out to me, which I don't know why, because, I mean, I just don't understand the line movement. Tyreek Hill goes down. He's out. Carolina opens as a 1.5-point favorite, and now Miami's a 1.5-point favorite at Carolina. A three-point line move does not happen often in the NFL during the middle of the week. What the hell's going on, Case?
I'm guessing people probably see what I see, and I just think Carolina's terrible. I know it's kind of got misleading because they won the 30-0 game against the Falcons, but I feel like the Falcons kind of gift wrapped that game. I mean, the Falcons are actually were the team moving the ball better and stuff. I think Penix had three interceptions, one pick six, one back into their 10-yard line. It does scare me without Tyreek Hill, and I know that the Dolphins' defense is nothing to write home about, certainly. But I think you've seen money come in against Carolina like every week, and certainly I've been part of it. I'm looking to sell on the Panthers as much as I can. I think I bet Miami even before the Monday Night Football game. I might have gotten +1.5 or something. The Tyreek Hill injury does matter to me, though, so I'd probably sit it out now. But I'm of the opinion that I can't bet the Panthers until I see a little bit more defensively. They've been terrible, and Bryce Young's only got it done in stretches. So I'm kind of out on Carolina, and I feel like a lot of other people are too.
As amazing as the 1-3 is, you got two pairs, or actually one pair of team here, the Buccaneers and the Seahawks. Whoever wins this game is going to be 4-1, the inside track to win the division for sure. The Bucs catching three. Baker's been doing everything right, man. He's the guy that everyone wanted to see in Cleveland. He didn't show up there, but he's been fun to watch down there in Florida. There, people are loving him. Case, what do you think about the Seahawks and the Buccaneers?
I talked about this on the starting lineup, which you'll see tomorrow. It's a little bit different now because the line has moved. This is technically the biggest bet I've made this football season on one side. and that would be Seattle minus one when it opened. I just could not believe they opened as a one-point favorite at home against this banged-up Buccaneers team who, I mean, I know they got some guys back. They got Godwin back. I think Wirfs played last week, I believe, but not himself. But Evans is still down. Bucky Irving's not playing this week. They got a bunch of defensive injuries. And I don't know why everyone's so skeptical of Seattle. They've been unbelievable this year. They're defensively, I think they lead the league in a bunch of things. Special teams, they've been I think they've had a lot of hidden value from their special team. And offensively, yeah, they're not going to blow you away, but they haven't been they haven't been bad either. I mean, they've taken care of the ball. They've been about a league average in most things. Seattle, traditionally one of the better home field advantages in football. I could not believe when they opened minus one. I mean, that implies that Tampa Bay is the better team on a neutral field. And I just think, especially in the current state with the injuries, I could not get there. You mentioned three, still split between three and a half. If you could still get a three, I certainly like Seattle. Not quite as shocked as when it was one, but man, I think Seattle's really undervalued right now. And usually when that happens in the NFL, it doesn't happen for long. So I'd jump on while you can.
Got a phone call last night from a good friend of mine. He rented a Thrasher Brothers bus. Kai, you know him. And he's got 30 tickets to the Bengals-Lions game tomorrow that kicks off in the late window. And said, I got you a pair of tickets if you want them. And I said, I know exactly what's going to happen in that ball game. First of all, they're catching 10 and a half. You're going to drive 8 hours in a Thrasher. And listen, half the fun is getting up there, drinking the whole way up and drinking the whole way back. No one gives a damn. Everyone's taking off Monday. I get that. But you know you're going to get up there. They've only scored 13 points the last two games the Bengals have. They're playing, obviously, a team a lot of people think could go to the Super Bowl. It's 10 and a half. They're going to get inside that number somehow because they are on the road, the Lions are. They'll lose by seven, but it'll be a shitty game. It'll be a horrible game. They'll end up scoring 16 points. They'll lose like 20-16. They're not only going to lose the game, which obviously is going to kill the Bengals, but it's not going to be fun to watch. And you're going to be making it to a 16-hour drive up and back to see the Cincinnati Bengals lose this week. Am I wrong, either one of these?
I would probably guess it goes the same way. I mean, I don't think the Bengals are going to win, but it's hard to lay 10 and a half on the road. And man, they can't possibly be as bad as they are the last 2 weeks, could they? Although Detroit's defense this is a really tough schedule for Jake Browning to jump into with Vikings, Broncos, Bengals.
Get him out of the shotgun. Joe Burrow runs that shotgun like 83% of the time, and he's been in the league for 5-6 years. He knows how to do that. He ran shotgun at LSU. But you cannot put Jake Browning, because basically it's amazing, because when you put someone in a shotgun, you're wanting to spread out the defense, right? If you watched the last 2 weeks, when they put Jake Browning in a shotgun, there were 9 guys on the line because they can't run the football. So they love seeing him in the shotgun. They're just firing off at him left and right. I don't know how many sacks they've had the last 2 weeks. It is. You want to talk about some bad coaching? Coach Zach needs to go. He needs to go right now. I will take Pete Carroll all day over Coach Zach right now in Cincinnati. Please make that happen. Please. Yes, I'd take a 70. I'd take Bill Belichick over Coach Zach right now just because he's bringing his fucking girlfriend with him.
All right. We got to move you from talking out of your ass onto another, another subject or anything. I do the line's moving where I want it to because I like the under in this game. And everything says I'm crazy, but I like I don't know. Now, Jake Browning could show up, and if Jake Browning puts up 28, then it's not going to go under because Detroit will go back and forth with him. But I think Detroit will be just fine running the ball in this game against Cincinnati and winning the game 21-10, and they'd be happy.
As long as they don't lose the turnover battle like 4-0, there's no reason why Detroit shouldn't win this game, and now you get over the 10.5. It just pisses me off because for the first time ever, the Bengals start the season 2-0. We're feeling all good, and then they lose their quarterback, and he's gone until December. It pisses me off. Speaking of the devil, the Cincinnati Reds also got bounced after 2 games against the L.A. Dodgers. I know you had the Dodgers minus 1.5 games, and you picked up that bet, Kai, so very nice. You're a baseball guy. Tell us where we're at in Major League Baseball and, of course, all the leagues or all the series going into Game 3s, which is really exciting. I got to be honest with you. I'm not saying this because the Reds just lost 2-0, but I would like to see, if you're going to play a 162-game schedule, just go 5-game series or 7-game series right off the bat, because if you do play a short series and you're bouncing the L.A. Dodgers, they didn't. But you're bouncing the L.A. Dodgers. You're bouncing one of the best teams in baseball just because of a short series and maybe a night where you just didn't have the bats. So go to a 5 or 7-game series in that first series. Baseball will win. They'll take the money. I mean, what's an extra? You're already playing till November. So what's wrong playing another couple of ball games? So that would be my thought to Bamford and those guys in Major League Baseball. Your thoughts?
And not all 3 games at one spot. I mean,
yes, exactly.
I just think that's stupid. Go 2-2-1,
be done with it.
Well, if you're going to play three, go 1-1-1. I mean, I don't really care. But, you know, I the Toronto Yankees matchup is the most intriguing AL matchup. The most intriguing NL matchup, in my opinion, even though we differ on the other one, is the Phillies and the Dodgers. The Dodgers, I think, have the pitching. The Phillies, I think, have the team that seems to make the plays when it matters. They seem to get the key hits. The Dodgers, where they rely more on the long ball, and I know that Philly hits a lot of home runs. I understand that. I just like the way the Phillies lineup matches up. I'm trying to talk myself out of a series bet and going game to game. I like the Phillies. I really do. I like Toronto over the Yankees, but I'm kind of wondering if it's a heart bet for just how much I hate the freaking Yankees. But when I look at the managers and I see Aaron Boone in the Yankees dugout, then whoever is coaching against him has to have the upper hand. So I like that. Like I said, I love Milwaukee, but I've loved what Milwaukee's done all season. They've had some bad runs, but during the season, they have looked like one of the best teams in Major League Baseball to me. And the other one, which I think is not going to go very long, is Seattle. I think Seattle rolls quickly. Maybe not a sweep, but pretty damn close.
All right, K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. Go to the website, pick of the patches, get after it. And, of course, certainly listen to our shows every Tuesday and Friday right here at 10 o'clock Central on the Digital Sports Network here at Coastal. They do wonderful work. And, of course, also Tony Curry Radio. Gentlemen, it is showtime. We've got another great Saturday of college football, professional football, Major League Baseball. We'll be back into it on Tuesday. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.